I would invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 23, and I want you to hold your place on this chapter, Leviticus 23, and our key verse for today will be found in verse 3. Today is a special day for many of us. It's a day to celebrate already what God has done by stirring the waters of baptism. It's a wonderful day because this is the day that the New Covenant Church has set aside to worship the resurrected Lord. It's a wonderful day to be able to worship in unity, one with another, and then to turn our hearts and our minds to the one who has given us salvation, and the only one under heaven and earth that men might be saved, and that is the person of Jesus. Someone praise the Lord this morning. Today is a day that we have set aside to honor our mothers as well, and so it is a special day that we can honor many of the mothers that are here today, and I'm thankful for my own mother being with me to worship this morning, to worship, and many others as well. It was Billy Sunday, the evangelist, that said, "There is more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter." And many days I felt the mightiness of that hand through my disobedience. Stronger than any king's scepter to ever rule the land. Maybe today your mother has gone on to be with the Lord, and so today I pray for you. And I pray that this day, as you miss the time with your mother, that you'll reflect on the legacy left behind. I pray for the many ladies in this church who are like mothers to many other folks who are in this church, who have been like mothers to many and so many. I pray for you as you pour into our young mothers of the church. It was a woman by the name of Anne M. Jarvis who lived around the late 1800s on into the early 1900s who recommended that the United States observe an annual day honoring all mothers because she loved her mother so dearly. At a memorial service on May 10th, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation to each person who attended that service because that was her mother's favorite flower. Give everyone, every mother there, a carnation. Within the next few years, the idea of honoring mothers on a Mother's Day became very popular in a lot of large cities in the United States. And wouldn't you know it, May 9th, 1914, an act of Congress by President Woodrow Wilson declared that the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And wouldn't you know it, on May 9th, 2019 was when I was preparing this sermon, so it became very relevant of this date. It was President Woodrow Wilson that established this day as, I quote, "public expression for our love and reverence for the many mothers of our country." And by then, it had already become customary to wear white carnations to honor the departed mothers and red carnations for those that are still living, a custom that continues to this day. So today, we honor our mothers. We thank and think upon the legacy that they left behind and are leaving behind to this day. Now, I want you, if you will, if you got Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3, you might be saying as you're turning to this Old Testament book, how is this going to be a reflection on Mother's Day? How is this going to tie in to the virtuous woman we find in Proverbs 31, the good wife, the good mother, the good leader of her home? How is this going to tie in to being a honorable mother? How's this going to tie in? I want you to turn there, if you've got that verse, verse number 3. It is a reminder of a previous decree given by the Lord to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20, this commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. This verse is a reminder, and it reads, Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, 6 days shall your work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all of your dwelling place. Now, we'll return to that verse in a moment, but I want to challenge every one of us. First, let me challenge mothers here today. Go home and rest. Even though you might have to cook, even though you might have to clean a little bit, because us fathers, sometimes we're slack in that area. So we thank you for all that you do. Take time this afternoon to reflect and to rest. But I want to challenge all of us today on the importance of meaningful rest and meaningful worship, and how rest ties to worship. Among a culture that is always on the go, always on the move, stress levels at an all-time high when we have to take prescription medication to handle our stress. Among a culture that is always on the go, stress levels are high. We need a moment of rest in our life. But what does this godly command of rest look like for the Christ follower today in 2019? What does solemn rest actually entail for the Christ follower? Maybe we get in to the scripture that will exemplify setting aside a time of worshipful rest. Now, before we get into the scripture, the key scripture of the day, I want to pray for us. Then we'll glance through chapter 23 and 24 in just a quick summary. And then we'll loop back around in verse 3, and that will be our key text for the day. Let me pray for our time in God's Word and pray that the Lord would speak to us greatly through it. Let's pray together, seeking God's face. Lord, we're here today because we know that we can't do it in our own strength. Father, we know, God, that everything that we put our hands to, God, we are prone to mess it up. So, Father, I pray that today, as we divide your word, as we seek your face, we would know that today is your day. We honor our mothers, yes, but we honor Jesus much more so. And so we thank you today for this day that we have set aside to rest and to worship. I pray today, if there's one here who doesn't know you, doesn't know the saving grace of Christ Jesus our Lord, that today would be that day of salvation for them this day. And Father, I pray that the word of God will be exalted, Jesus will be exalted, the church will be humbled and yet have confidence in Jesus this day. And I pray it in his holy name. Amen. Chapter 23, as we survey these two verses, we find in chapter 23 that there is given an account of the several holy days, times, and seasons appointed by God. It is under these general names of feast we find holy convocations or holy assemblies. You know, today is a day that we can call a holy assembly. We assemble in the name of Jesus, and we meet in the name of Jesus our Lord. We find the first of the Sabbath, we find in verse 1, proclaim in their sacred assemblies, that is. We find that there is a feast of weeks, or Pentecost, in verse 15. We find there's a feast of trumpets, and we find that there is the Day of Atonement, once again, in verse 26, lifted up. We did note that as we work through this Day of Atonement, that Jesus Christ is that atonement. Amen? That Jesus is that atonement. He is not only the Day of Atonement, he is the atonement. We find the Feast of Tabernacles, the very end of chapter 23. You'll find scattered throughout this chapter, there is one phrase that is mentioned one time, and that is, you shall do no work on this Sabbath day. Then there is a variation of that word that is mentioned, that phrase that is mentioned 6 times altogether. There's a variation of this phrase saying, you shall not do any ordinary work. 7 times God commands, just in this chapter alone, that his people are to ascribe a time for resting. And get this, the resting is always tied to worshiping. The resting is always tied to worship. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment, how rest and worship correlate one to another in the economy that God has set for his church. In chapter 24, we find beginning in round verse 2 and 3, Aaron and his sons are to take care of the lamps. They're to be lighted in, lit in the morning and the evening. The showbread is to be made. His sons shall eat the bread in the holy place. And we find something very interesting that happens somewhere almost mid through. We find that there is one son of Shilomith, an Israeli woman, who blasphemed the name of the Lord, took the Lord's name in vain, blasphemed the name of the Lord. The people gathered around him, laid their hands upon him, and then they stoned him to death because he blasphemed the name of the Lord. We travel through the rest of this chapter, and we find what is called the Lex Talionis, or what we might know today as an eye for an eye. This is the eye for an eye theology exemplified in chapter 24, and we can thank the Lord Jesus for his grace today that we do not live under this law of like or eye for an eye theology. It is through his grace that we have been saved through faith. We find at the very end of this chapter 24, around verse 23, Moses spake to the Israelis, and they brought the one who had cursed the name of the Lord outside of the camp, and they stoned him. And it says at the very end of that, the Israelites did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, what I want us to do, as we have surveyed those two chapters very briefly, I want to loop back around into verse 3 of chapter 23 with a sermon that I have entitled Rest and Worship. One verse, verse 3. We're going to highlight this verse two other times in this sermon. 6 days shall the work be done. On the seventh day is the Sabbath. It is a solemn rest. It is a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. And part of the reason we're taking this afternoon for no activities is to take a time of rest, to take a time of fellowship with our families. We're having a meaningful time and worshipful time of rest. But I want to take this verse 3, and I've got two parts to this verse that I want to bring out. Two points I want to bring out of this verse. Number one, there is within this verse the proper stewardship for work. God has given you a job. God has given me a job. God has given us a task. And in that task, he expects us as Christ followers to handle it with proper stewardship. So he says, 6 days shall your work be done. Now, before that we say that this is directed simply to the Israelis, we know that there is a New Testament connotation to this through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he himself took a time to rest. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. What this command implies is that you finish your work during the week in order that you can have a time of corporate worship with the assembly. Meaning that over and over this Sabbath day, there is what is called a solemn rest. I want you to notice what the Lord decrees in Genesis 2 and verse 3. God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. God has sanctioned it as a day of worship from the very beginning, that we work, we rest. We work, we rest. And as we rest, we worship. I want you to know that this has been a day of worship from the very, very beginning. This is not a day of nothing. This is not a day that we set aside to do absolutely nothing. But it is a day that we reflect on how we used our time wisely during the 6 days that we worked, and then to worship rightly on that day that we have set aside. As we have seen before in the commands, we know that the Lord says in this good stewardship, in these 6 days, that as you rest, that it is to be obviously honest work. So the Lord has given his moral commands. He's given civil commands. That is like if I do my brother wrong, then I correct that thing. If I do someone wrong, I make it right. And so this is implied that the work that is done during the 6 days is an honest work. There used to be a time in American history where people didn't work on Sundays. You know, and I'm not being so legalistic this morning as to say, don't you dare work on Sunday. That's between you and your Lord. But I've heard many preachers stand up and they'll preach about how people aren't in church on Sunday and how they work on Sunday, and then they'll go out to some restaurant and expect the waitress to serve them. But I do remember a time, just very briefly growing up, some counties or cities had what was called blue laws, where the businesses would be shut down on that Sunday to give the families time to go and to worship and to make a point that this day is the day of the Christian Sabbath and we have set it aside to worship the risen Lord. But as you imagine, those days seem to be far behind us. And for many, even church members, Sunday has become just another day to go through the motions. Just another day where worship becomes little to no reflection on what the Lord is actually doing. A time of rest that we have during the Christian Sabbath, such as today, was not intended for us to disconnect altogether. It wasn't intended for us to disconnect from worship and work altogether, but that we will reflect how we've honored God through our work week. You know, maybe we have reached that age when we have retired. And how have we used our time to honor God through that? Maybe we're still on the workforce. Maybe we're still in a job today. And we say, how have I honored God the 6 days that I worked? You might say, well, 6 days, brother. 7 days. I work 7 days a week. How do we honor God in our work? Because there is a worshipful and Christ-honoring way to approach work that we do with our hands every single week, and it is good stewardship. God expects us to be good stewards of the job that he has given to us. And then it is a looking forward to the time that we can rest and worship on Sunday mornings together. There should be in your heart and in your mind excitement, knowing that you're going to go together with the saints of God, and you're going to sing praises to Jesus. You're going to hear some teaching on Jesus. There should be excitement. You know, the word that is used for work in this text carries the connotation of ministry. It carries the connotation of ministry. So wherever you work, retired, wherever you work, job force, wherever you work, think of it as a way of ministry, a way to honor God and be a good steward of what God has given you. So he gives this command, 6 days shall you work. It was F.B. Meyer, who lived around the 1800s and died in 1929. He was a contemporary and friend of D.L. Moody, an evangelist. He was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in England. He said these words, and I quote, "A pause must be called in life's busy haste. A family should have an opportunity of gathering at solemn ceremonies, such as today. A family should be privileged and should look forward to come and worshiping in God's house. Participation in which will leave lasting memories with the coming generation." I don't know about you, but I want to leave lasting memories with my children. Songs of old. Songs that have theological meat. Songs that are sung today that are new songs that have just as much theological meat on the bones as the songs of old. Lasting memories. He goes on to talk about the absence of the temple that is mentioned in Leviticus. He says, remember that the absence of the temple in the New Jerusalem did not imply that there was no worship. Just because it was a traveling tabernacle in the wilderness didn't mean there was no worship. And here's what the point that he is making. Every moment was worship. Every moment. And even though that we have set this day aside to worship, I hope you realize that every day, every moment can be one of worship. Now, we're not so spiritual that we walk around every day and every moment of our life is time where we are exalting Jesus. We know that we're in the flesh. We know that we struggle with this. Not every moment of our day is centered on worshiping Jesus, but we should thrive and strive to get there, shouldn't we? I know we walk around in this flesh and we struggle as the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. We know this. But let me tell you this. Every single one of us should be deeply grateful to God that we can meet in one place. That we can meet at one time. We today in Western culture, in our churches today, don't have to worry about some governmental official and their soldiers come busting through this door. We can worship in one place, we can worship at one time with one thing on our heart and mind, and that is the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A proper stewardship, a Christ-honoring perspective of work can lead to a proper reflection of worship. Secondly, within this verse is the proper perspective of rest. And I think that our culture, our church, needs to recapture this rest. You know, one of the greatest dangers amongst leaders and elders and pastors in church is burnout. No rest. Listen to the rest of this verse. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest. It is a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is Sabbath to the Lord in all of your dwelling place. Now, like the Lord refrained from his work of creation, we found in Genesis Chapter 2, we find that he refrained from his work of creation, so we almost must rest from work. But I want you to understand that the Lord did not rest because he was tired. God did not just sit out under a tree that he just created and just put his feet up because he was tired of all the work he'd done. It simply meant that the Lord was done with his creation, and he sat and he stopped because he was finished. This is a prime reason that this is mentioned in Genesis, is so that his crown jewel of creation, you and me, would know the importance of reflection and worship. Why would God inspire Moses to even write about the day that he has set aside to rest if he did not want us to learn something from it? Jesus is seen many times in the Bible resting after he ministered to a group of people. After Jesus feeds the 5,000, I mean, which is a miracle in itself, Jesus feeding literally is the miracle of the bread being multiplied in the hands of Jesus. Literally, the miracle coming from the hands of him. But Jesus says this to his disciples after this feeding of the 5,000. He told them in Mark 6:31. He said, come away to a deserted place all by yourself. What does it say? And rest for a while. Because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. And you know that Jesus, the master rabbi, we can imply that in that deserted place, as they ate together, that he also taught. That he also led and was teaching as a master rabbi would do, teaching them the value of getting away and resting. But let's look at the two words that stick out in this phrase. Solemn rest is a variation of the Hebrew word for Sabbath, but in the sense of a very special day. You know, we have a word in our vocabulary. The word is holiday. And if used in its proper context, it would simply be a holy day. We have a word holiday, and in a way, the day of rest was a holiday, and then the better theological word of our day, it is a holy day. You know that we have a holiday for almost everything under the sun, but how many holy days do we have? Well, we have a holy day. A holy day for us would be the day that we have set aside for worshiping the risen Lord, that he walked out of the tomb on the third day. The word for convocation means a public meeting. So we have met on this holy day in a public assembly, and we worship Jesus. So in our public meetings,
We have set aside a day for worship and rest. These are holy days to us. These are God-ordained days. These are God-consecrated days to worship the Lord. But there is also a genuinely, a deeper purpose to these ordained days. What is this purpose? Well, it is to unite God's uniquely called people to worship in one place and to worship in unison. God calls his people to worship in unison, to bring together in one moment of time the assembly, to bring together in one moment of worship during the week like-minded worshipers, to lay aside all distractions, all things that consume our thoughts throughout the week in order to worship the Creator of all things. The same goal for the Lord and for the Israelite people is the same for us. Now it's through the name and purpose of Jesus Christ. It is so that we would come and worship the Creator of all things and to worship in unison. A worship service should be a time when God's people are so together, are so unified, that every care and every burden that we carry should be left on the altar. That every concern should be able to be saturated by the saints of God. Listen, if you carry around a burden today and you have not taken it to the Lord, he invites you to do that, to cast your cares upon him. If you have not offered and said, hey, listen, I'm going through this, brother, can you pray for me? That's the reason we have the church. That's the reason we have one another, to worship Jesus, to carry one another's burdens, to fellowship one with another. A proper perspective on worship and rest does not always imply a direct disconnect from the world, but a right reflection. The concept that we have today on rest is really a new concept on the landscape of human history, where we think that we have to dumb down everything around us and somehow unplug from everyone and everything to get work or to get rest. This has nothing to do with godly rest. This is a new concept, if you will. And here's how we become prideful. We become prideful in either one or two ways of this. You know how many pastors I have heard who kind of stood with hands on hip in a boastful way and said, well, I haven't taken a day off in 7 years. I haven't taken a vacation in 5 years. My friend, that is boastful. We either have pride in one or two ways. We boast that we never take a day off, and that can't be healthy, can it? Or we boast in saying that we take off and we disconnect from everything and everyone around us, including God. That's not healthy either. Taking a vacation doesn't mean we take a vacation from worship. True rest in Jesus. True rest is in Jesus. We talk about rest and the command given. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, what does he say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So it's as if Jesus has taken the command of God to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy and rest and saying that rest is in me. Remember, Jesus is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, this plan of rest from the Lord is very simple. I like the words of Charles Spurgeon in this special invitation because he says in this special invitation of Jesus, there are a few criteria that are laid out from Jesus. This special invitation, it is personal. He says, come to me. It is present. Come now and do not wait. Why do we waver? Why do we wait? Come now and do not wait, Jesus says. Rest is in me. It is a sweet invitation that demands a spontaneous response. We don't have to wait until tomorrow. We respond to Jesus today. It is exclusive. Do nothing else but come to me. As I mentioned earlier, there is no other name under heaven in which men might be saved. Salvation and rest is exclusively through him. So it is personal. It is present. It is sweet in its invitation. It is spontaneous, and it is exclusive. How about you today? Do you need that worshipful and, may I say, meditative rest? There's nothing more that I love to do at the end of the day than to sit in my recliner and get a time of rest from the day. And if I'm not careful, my mind will go a million different ways. May I say to those who need that worshipful and meditative rest, it's good to get away. It's good to take that moment of rest. It's good to carve that in your calendar and get that rest. But may it also be worshipful rest, meditative rest on Him. Come to Him today. He is the invitation. He is the lifter of the heavy laden and the burden. Come to Him today. Do you realize that you're working so hard in this life that you fail to stop and truly worship Jesus? May I say it again, as He said, He is our true rest, so rest in Him. I want you to listen to this verse one more time. 7 days shall work be done, and in the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest. It is a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all of your dwelling places. Maybe that's you today. Do you realize you're working so hard that you have forgotten and you have failed to stop and truly worship Jesus? I believe the Lord wants you to reflect on the work that you've done and to see if that is God-honoring stewardship. I believe that He wants you today to find your rest in the only one that can give rest, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lifter of our burden, the lifter of our care, the person Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the time that we've spent in Your Word. I pray today as we transition into our time of communion, Father, that You will help us to see that true rest we need is in Jesus. Jesus is the finisher of the laws and the commands, and so today we honor our Lord and we find rest in He and He alone. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.